Who is your favorite superhero and why? I believe each and every one of us have had those times through our life, whether it was our childhood or even to the present day, where we had a favorite superhero, and there was a reason that we liked that superhero. For some of us, we would sit back, and as it goes through our mind right now, we would think, well, it was because he could fly, or he was out there for truth and justice for all, or whatever the circumstance may be. There was a reason that we were drawn to that superhero. Why is it that you think that we in our society today like superheroes so much? I don't know if you're a movie watcher or not, but if you'll notice, the Marvel comics have come out with many movies over the past few years that really kind of speak to our love for those superheroes. Well, I want you to think about not only your superhero today, but we're going to look at some quote-unquote superheroes out of the Bible today as we take a look in 2 Samuel chapter 23 at David's mighty men. Stick around. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to our Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us today. If you have that Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to look at a few verses out of there. As we started our broadcast, we were talking a little bit about who your favorite superhero is and why is it that particular superhero is one of your favorites. As we get into our story today, we're seeing David at a time when things weren't going so well. Many of us can relate to that today. Things in life just don't seem to be going like we would like for them to, or in a way that brings about the joy and happiness that each and every one of us seek. And there was this time where David is actually, he finds himself in a fortress, but David had an army. He had several of his men, as well as that army, that were very faithful and they were very loyal to him. And that's something we're going to get into in just a moment. But today we're going to look at the passages. Now, they have some tough names. They call the name of some of David's mighty men. So bear with me as we go through the scriptures and we try to work on some of these Old Testament names. But we're going to begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 23 at verse 8. It says, "These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Joshua, Bathsheba, the Tishbonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino, the Isnite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. After him was Shema, son of Agi, the Harite, the Philistine. The Philistines had gathered together in troops where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. Verse 12, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephidim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful for yet another opportunity to be able to gather in your midst, Lord, to gather around your word. I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts. You use so many means and methods by which to speak into the hearts and lives of your children. And today is one of those chances. Lord, we're thankful that your word does not return void. And we just ask that you would help us to focus in these moments, that you truly would be high and lifted up. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to make any adjustments that the Holy Spirit points out to us today. Lord, I pray that for your messenger for these moments, that as we lift you up, people would truly see you for who you are. Draw those that are unsaved to you. Lord, draw the wayward back to you as only you can. Lord, give us strength and courage as we read about these three mighty men, that we may become like them for the right and proper cause, and that is the cause of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Lord, bless our time as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in our story today, we read about some real heroes who were known as David's mighty men. Now, these three men had names. Like I said, they were complicated names, as you could tell. I always struggle with some of those Old Testament names. But when we see the passage, it points these three men out, and it does so for a particular reason. It calls them by name because there was something special about these men, and they were called out for acts of courage that they're remembered for even today. We're sitting here today in verses 8 through 12, and we are reading about these men because of how gallant they were, what type of heroes they were. I mean, when you look at the particular battles that they were facing with the Philistines, and you look at how they were outnumbered in every one of these circumstances that we read about in our text today, many people would look at it and say, well this was just this was a suicide mission. I mean, these guys, you know, when they went out, there was a slim chance that they would actually be coming back. And yet they always seem to return. That speaks of a lot about who they were as far as being warriors, but it also speaks a lot about God's protection over them in their lives as they were about the Father's business. Now, that's something that is paramount in our lives that we have to think about as well. If God is using you for an opportunity for his kingdom's sake, to bring honor and glory to him, to advance the kingdom, and he is wanting you to do that. Maybe he's called you specifically to do something for him. And we know he's done that. But as we do that, then the Lord is going to open doors. The Lord is going to provide the protection that we need to be able to be everything that God wants us to be. So, you know, when we think about these particular men, attention was called to them because of the fact of what they were able to accomplish and why they were able to accomplish it. Now, we don't see in the word why they were able to accomplish it to a degree. Now, hold that thought for just a minute. It does go down and it talks about the fact that the Lord did something pretty incredible. See, after these men accomplished these heroic deeds two times in the Word of God, that's actually in verse 10 and verse 12, it says, and the Lord brought about a great victory. In other words, the Lord used these men to bring about a victory for himself and what it was that he wanted. Now, I said a moment ago, if you are doing God's will and you are doing it God's way, then there's nothing that's going to be able to stop you from doing that. Now, that didn't mean that these men didn't have to exercise bravery. It didn't mean that they did not have to go into the face of battle in what many would call insurmountable odds, because they did. They had to go out and do those things. But they did so with faith. They did so with courage that God was going to take care of them. There's a lot that we can learn from these three heroes today. What is it like in our life. You know, when we think about what things look like in the year 2022, I'm convinced that God's people need to stand up and take courage, and we need to be brave, because we're fighting battles in society. We're battles of morality. We're fighting battles of spirituality. We're fighting all these types of battles, and God is calling his people to stand up and to be strong and to be counted. Now, the question is, are we doing that? Are we being courageous in the middle of the things that God has called us to be in the middle of? Or are we somewhere hiding, in a corner? Are we tucked away safely from all the action that God wants us to be a part of? Because, folks, he's wanting you and I to be the instruments in his hands that he might bring about great victories, just like what we're reading about in our text today. So not only do we read about what God was able to accomplish, and it talks about him bringing great victory, but it also gives an implication about these men who are mentioned by name in this particular text. It meant that these were men who, A, they had a talent, B, they were going to use it for the sake of God's glory, and these were men that were very loyal to David. Now, let me just state it like this. They were loyal to David as he followed the Lord. In other words, their loyalty was to David as David followed what the Lord would have for him. So, there's a lot we can learn in that regard as well. You know, things don't always go the way that we want them to go. There's times, I know, in our lives that when we look at leadership and leadership positions, there's things that we may not like that people who have authority over us are exercising. And you know, the Bible tells us a lot about what Jesus taught concerning submission to authority and government as well. We're supposed to pray for those folks. Now, yeah, I've said this many times as we've gone through ministry, as we've gone through life, as we've gone through things. There are going to be times that you don't always understand, you know, what it is that leadership is trying to do. The question really goes back to, is that leader following what it is that God would have? And if you are someone who is not in a position of leadership, then our responsibility is to follow our leaders as they follow the Lord. I think that's a key piece of that scripture, as they follow the Lord. There are certain things that you have to ask yourself, okay, is this to do this? Is it going to be unbiblical? Is it going to be immoral? Is it you know, contrary to what God's word says? If it's not, then God holds those that are put in positions to follow. God holds those folks accountable for that. He also holds accountable the leader. The leader is accountable to follow God. Now, that doesn't mean blind allegiance by any stretch of the imagination. Like I said, it has to pass the litmus test of God's word and what God is sharing with each and every one of us. But in our scripture text today, the implication about these men is that they were pretty amazing men, and accomplished some pretty amazing deeds, but not because of themselves. They accomplished those things because it was part of God's will for their life. They had this extremely dedicated and loyal following to their leader, which was King David. They were willing to go out and sacrifice and do at the hand of his leadership. Why was that? Yeah, I think that these are men who had also witnessed first of all, they knew what David's character was like. Now, granted, last week we talked about David and Bathsheba, and David, it didn't mean David was perfect. David had his own problems. David got off track at some times in his life, but overall, when it came down to, you know, his leadership ability, his followers really believed in what he was doing. That meant that they had the belief in God. They believed that David was God's man, that God had appointed king, and they felt like their position was to support their king as he followed God's will in his life and the will for all of Israel at that particular time. This is extremely important. You know, when we look at it, when we think about the quality that these three men had as they followed David, what are the qualities that we have today, either in leadership positions or as one who is called to follow? Now, It gets into the specifics about what some of these men did that were very heroic. But where's David at this time? According to our text, David was in the stronghold at the cave of Adullam. And of course, these men actually had this chance to go down and to visit with him, probably to give him reports as to how things were going in the war. And I can just picture David is sitting in this stronghold. He's not liking what's going on. Man, how many times in life do we not like how the circumstances are going? You know, that time we say, well, things certainly aren't going my way. You know, here's David. He's gone from being, you know, a king and essentially having a palace and a throne to being in a stronghold of a cave and essentially in hiding, you know, to be protected. And he's remembering what things were like. Now, David, we talked about his son Absalom and how his son essentially overthrew him for the kingdom. David was one of those guys that really, loyalty meant a lot to him. Loyalty still means a lot today when it comes down to leaders and followers. There's a passage, I believe it's actually in Psalm 55, where David is talking about when Absalom, his son, overthrew him for the throne. And in one of the most heartfelt passages of Scripture, and I believe it's Psalm 55, it's either 52 or 55, David actually gets into talking about what had taken place, and many scholars and Bible students believe that that David's great amount of distress at that particular time was because his son had overthrown him. And I don't really agree with that assessment, and I'm going to tell you why here in just a moment. But when David begins to talk about this, he says, essentially things that you and I would say. He would say, if it's an enemy, I could have expected an enemy to try to overthrow me and to do these things. And then people would say, well, if he was talking about his son Absalom, that would fit too, because he certainly wouldn't expect his own son to overthrow him. There's where I have a little bit of a disagreement, mainly because David and Absalom's relationship was somewhat estranged at that point. If you remember when we discussed this a week or so ago, they had been years in the same place and had not even had an opportunity to see each other face to face. I mentioned before, David was a good leader, but he kind of had some issues and problems in the daddy area. So I believe with all my heart that David actually even could have believed that his own son Absalom was capable of attempting to overthrow him for the throne. But that's not the main point of that particular passage. And I don't believe that that was the main stress that David had either, because in that passage in Psalm, he goes on to say this. Essentially he's saying, if it was an enemy, I could have expected that from an enemy. But he goes on, he says, but it was you, a man my equal. We walked in counsel together. Now, David would never have referred to his son as his equal. That's not the way that worked with the king and those who were even part of his family. He would never considered him that. Now, history tells us that the person that walked to the right of the king in procession signified to that whole nation the depth of that particular friendship and the depth of that relationship. Well, the person that walked beside King David was Ahithophel. That's who it was. But in that passage in Psalm, he says, but it wasn't an enemy. It was you, a man, my equal. We walked in counsel together. That is referring to Ahithophel. And this was David's best friend. This was a guy that he really felt like would never take advantage of him, that would never do anything behind his back, that he felt like would be loyal to him to the very, very end. And I believe that was David's greatest disappointment. And that's what he's referring to in that passage in Psalm. And that's what's tearing him up. It wasn't somebody. I would expect it from an enemy. I might have even expected it from my son, but I didn't expect it from you, Ahithophel, my best friend. Where is that loyalty? And David, loyalty meant a lot to him. We know that before he was king, even when Saul was after him, even when Saul was trying to kill him, he was still loyal to Saul. Even when he was running from him, he still did everything to protect the kingdom, as it were, and to protect Saul, even when he had every reason not to. So back to our text, David, three of David's really loyal phenomenal, God-fearing men have come to him while he's in the stronghold at Adullam. And I'm imagining that there's probably a little bit of depression that's going on in David because things aren't like they used to be. And here I am in this cave. And he makes a comment. I want to carry you over to verse 13 of our text today. That's 2 Samuel 23. Go down to about verse 13. It says, then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam, and the troops of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephidim. David was then in the stronghold at the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistine was then in Bethlehem. Now, verse 15 says, and David said, now I want you to get this. Remember, things aren't going well for David right now. He's hiding out in this cave. There's depression that's going on with him. And have you ever been in a situation where you've said some things and you were just thinking out loud? You didn't necessarily really mean it. But in verse 15, we read, it says, and David said with longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now, consider that for a minute. Yeah, here are these men who are very loyal to David. They hear him make this statement, oh, that somebody would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem. You know what? I don't believe that it was just that he was thirsty and he wanted a drink of water, and that, you know, whatever the situation may have been, that okay, it was good water at the well of Bethlehem, unlike the hard water that other wells had. I don't think it had anything to do with the taste of the water or anything else. It was him remembering the good days, remembering the godly days, remembering what God was doing in Bethlehem. And it seems like all this has just completely fallen apart. In other words, he was talking about in that statement that that's where his heart was. Oh, what I wouldn't give for things to be like they used to be. Boy, is that not a statement that many of us have used many times. Yeah, and it's true. How many times have we sat back and said, man, what I wouldn't give for things to be like they were at this particular time or at this particular place? Many churches even say that today. Oh, what I wouldn't give for things to be like they were pre-pandemic. You know, things were a whole lot different, and you're right, they were. Now, David is longing for this time when things were going well, okay? And he makes this statement, oh, if I just had a drink from the water of the well of Bethlehem. Well, the thing about it is that when he said that, there were those mighty men who they desired to serve him. They were very loyal to him. And in verse 16, it tells us what happened. It says, so the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was at the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but he poured it out to the Lord. Now, I want you to think for just a moment about what has taken place here. David has made this statement, using the old expression, thinking out loud. He said that David didn't really desire that somebody in that group go and get him a drink of water from Bethlehem. It was more about the old times, better times that he wished that he was in the middle of, rather than going through the hardships that he was going through at that particular point. So what happens is, all of a sudden, David finds out that three of his men took the statement that he made literally, broke through the enemy. Just three of them went to that well at Bethlehem, drew water, and brought it back specifically for him. And I could just imagine what that was like when they came back into David's presence and they said, David, here's that drink of water from the well at Bethlehem that you requested. Some of them probably had some battle scars from the battles that they had to fight to simply get through the Philistines, to get to that well, to get back. And so what we see is David at this point is probably sitting there going, oh man, I didn't mean for you to literally go get me a drink from the well. But it also said something about those particular three men. Once again, David is sitting there thinking to himself, I opened my mouth, I said something in haste, I said something from the heart that they took literally. They've actually gone and risked their lives to go do something for me as simple as getting me a drink of water. Yeah, and that wasn't exactly what I was talking about. I was just talking about the old days and the old times when things were so much better. But these men took it literally. They went out and got me a drink of water. And David is holding in his hands a chalice of water that's been brought back. These three men have gone and risked their lives to get David a drink because that was his request. And David all of a sudden has the feeling of, and I don't know if guilt is exactly the right word, but I'm going to use it. David has the guilt because of what he said and the manner that he said it. And these men took it literally. And he's sitting there thinking, you know, thank God they all came back alive. None of them got killed on this suicide mission to go get me a drink of water. But it also meant something to David in his heart about what those men were and what those men went to him. And David said, because of that sacrifice, there's no way, I'm not worthy to even drink this water that these men risked their lives to go get and to bring back to me. Let's look again at verse 16 of our text, which says, so the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well at Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. Now, verse 17 says what he said. He said, far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men. In other words, David felt so bad. He said, you know what? These men risked their lives just to go get me a drink because of the comment that I made here earlier. I am not worthy to even drink this water. You know, shall I drink the drink of this water to ease my thirst? Or, you know, and these men risked their very lives. And by all odds, these three men should not have even made it back because they essentially were against all the throng of Philistines that were protecting and having to get through the battle lines to simply get this. And David at this point is feeling, you know, bad or guilty. He's sitting back saying, man, there's no way I could drink this. I don't deserve to be able to drink this. And this once again speaks very highly of these three men. And it speaks of their loyalty to David. Think about how loyal they are. Are there people in your life that are that loyal? You know, I was remembering a movie. As a matter of fact, I saw the very end of it last night, and it kind of reminded me of this text today. But it was a movie called Stand By Me, and it was talking about these friends that were together when they were 12 years old. They go on a mission. They were actually going out to look for a dead body, but it talks about where they went. They essentially were finding themselves along the way on this trip. And as the movie ends, it says, it makes this statement. It says, you know, I never had friends like the friends that I had when I was 12 years old. Does anybody? Do you have those people in your life that are loyal to you? If you go through life and you find that you have one or two of those people in your life, then let me just tell you, you're a very blessed person. To have somebody like these three men that are described to us in our scripture text today is a rare thing. It speaks very highly of those of these men. Do you have somebody in your life that are like these three men? Do you have somebody that is loyal to you, that's willing to tell you the hard things that you need to hear, even when you don't want to hear them? Do you have that person who's willing to walk that extra mile just because of the depth of the relationship that they have with you? Not many folks can say that they have a bunch of people like that in their life. Like I said a moment ago, I pray that you go through life and find that you've had at least one or two people that you can count on like that. And when David saw their loyalty, it moved him. What are you loyal to? Are you loyal to Christ? Are you loyal to the body of the Lord? Are you loyal to the church? You see, in the church today, I ask this question: who is our enemy? Yeah. Who is our enemy? The Bible tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the principalities and the rulers of darkness and the rulers of the air. But yet what's happened is Satan gets us all so much at each other, Christian brothers and sisters, yeah, in the church, outside of the church. But who's our real enemy? Our real enemy is not each other. Our real enemy is Satan. And we can learn many things from David's mighty men about the fight against this enemy. We need to be fighting the enemy, not each other. If we would spend as much time fighting the enemy as we spend fighting one another, we could see this world change in a very short amount of time. I really believe that with all of my heart. Now think about it for a moment. Why do you think that men and women in church today often lack spiritual strength and spiritual courage? You know, I could probably get a bunch of different answers to that question. Some would sit back and say, well, a lot of it is the lack of a depth of walk with the Lord. Some would say it's a lack of spiritual knowledge from the Word of God. All these things are true. But what about courage? What about when God says, I need you to go fight this battle? Now, you're outnumbered. You're smaller than they are. By all earthly accounts, you shouldn't win this battle. Are you going to have the courage to listen to the Lord, to go into battle? Much like David when he fought with Goliath. Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall, a gallant warrior. And here was David, who was a shepherd boy. But he went to battle for all the right reason. Remember, his comment to Goliath was, or about Goliath was, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to challenge the armies of the living God? David remembered at that point who he was. Today, do we remember who we are in Christ, that He covers us, that He calls us, that He sends us on these missions, and that our enemy is not with our brothers and sisters, but yet our enemy is with the prince of darkness. Our enemy is Satan. That's who our enemy is. We need to come together. We need to be loyal to each other. We need to be loyal, first of all, to Christ, then to each other, and we need to be loyal to the church today. The church, I'm not talking about just the building, I'm talking about the body of Christ. Are you loyal to the body of Christ? Or is church just your passing fancy? Is it just something that you do, you know, instead of something that you become? I've seen many signs in this day and age that say, you don't just go to church, but be the church. Are you being the church? Or are you allowing personal preference to keep you from being all that God wants you to be? Listen, if Satan can do that, you're an easy target. He's already singled you out. It's not about who you're with. I mean, you want to be encouraging to who you're with, but it's about who you're there to worship, who you're there to serve and to work for. You know what? Hey, there's probably somebody on your team, your spiritual team, that you just may not like. But here's the thing about it. They're still one of your teammates. And we're still required to fight the good fight of Christ today in our society that He might be victorious. Can we be loyal to Christ? Yeah, you know, are we that above all things? Are we loyal to Him? All right. We need, in this day and age, we need spiritual warriors today of all ages and of all genders to stand up and be counted for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ, and for the sake of all of eternity. It is counting on you and I. All ages, all genders, everybody. We need to be on the same page for Christ. Yeah. So how does one become a spiritual warrior? And how does God use them in His work? Well, first of all, you need to understand the tools of the trade. The Lord gives them to us right here in His Word. This is the instruction book. This gives us everything that we need to know to be a successful warrior. One of the greatest things that you can do is have knowledge. Knowledge of, and I'm going to call it a working knowledge of what the Lord is and what He can do in your life and what He wants you to do. He wants you to be an instrument in His hand. That means He wants you to be a warrior. I've said this, man, I grew up back in what people would call the old days now, and still remember going to vacation Bible schools, and that's plural. We would go to many of them. Different churches would have different times, and we would go to them. And it seemed like every one of them, we had that, remember that opening assembly? And you would go in, and one of the songs that we would always sing is Onward, Christian Soldiers. Remember the words, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before, like the royal banner. It begins to give everything about our walk with the Lord. And he's talking about forward into battle. You know, see his banner roar. Okay, think about that. Do we do that anymore? Do we look at ourselves as a spiritual warrior? You know, today the call is onward, Christian soldiers. Are you a soldier? Are you a defector? Are you hiding somewhere? Are you ready to get out there and get in the battle? Well, you're going to have to get into the Word of God. You are going to have to spiritually mature to be everything God wants you to be in the battle for Him as you go forward today. Are you doing that? Okay. Do you desire to be a spiritual warrior for Christ? Yeah, there has to be that want to and that desire. Yeah, in what ways are you growing toward becoming one? If you have that desire, how are you growing toward becoming one of the great soldiers of the cross as you go forward? You know, as one loyal to Jesus, what are some things that you feel he is leading you to do that will require you to have great faith and to have great courage? Much like this this mission that we saw here, where these three men broke through enemy lines and got that drink from the well of Bethlehem for David. You know, how loyal are you to him? What is it that he's leading you to do that is going to require you to have great faith and great courage to be able to accomplish it? Because I will promise you this, he is calling you to something just like that. You know, how can these Bible studies that we have on Wednesdays and church and Sunday school and all these other things, how can these things help you to grow as a spiritual warrior? You see, folks, not everything is all about evangelism. There are opportunities for discipleship through your church. Discipleship means growing in him. Are you taking advantage of those things? Are you sitting back saying, well, you know, I'm giving the Lord my hour on Sunday morning and that's all he gets. That's all I've got cut out. There's other things I could be doing. Folks, I want to ask you this. Are you a lukewarm, mediocre Christian today? Or have you spiritually matured? And are you in the battle for all of eternity, the battle of spreading the gospel to a lost and dying world? Are you a soldier that God Almighty can count on? Yeah. By the way, you have to answer that question for yourself. I'm not answering that for you, but the Holy Spirit just gave you the answer to that question in your life. You know, in your fight against the enemy, what is the one main thing that your Christian brothers and sisters can pray for you about? Because listen, everybody has a chink in his armor and Satan knows exactly what it is. We need each other. We don't need to exploit one another by knowing what the chinks in each other's armors are. We're supposed to be encouraging and uplifting one another, but we should also be praying for one another that we're protected in the battle, even in the areas where we might have some troubles and some issues. So where's your loyalty today? If you had to stand before the Lord today, would he consider you to be loyal in the same sort of manner that these three men that we talked about in David's life were loyal to him? Are you truly about the mission that he has you on? You notice these three men didn't get sidetracked. They had a mission. They were going to get their king a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem that they had to fight their way through. They probably had to fight their way back, but they came back with a drink of water for the king. My question is, are you coming back with a drink of water for your king, our king, King Jesus, on this very day? We need to pray. We need to pray for one another today to grow as spiritual warriors and to be strong in our fight against the enemy. I'm going to go ahead and give you the Bible readings for this week, and then we're going to have a prayer similar to the one I just said we need to pray about. Okay, this week, and you might want to write these down. This one is not exactly, you know, concurrent, one right after the other, for our readings for this week. This week, our Bible readings are going to be 1 Kings chapter 1, 3, 9, 11, and 12. Now, let me give those to you again. And if you missed it, you can go back on the broadcast, the replay of the broadcast, and you can get them. But it's going to be 1 Kings chapters 1, 3, 9, 11, and 12. And next week, we will discover how Solomon prays for wisdom out of the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 14. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunities to be used in your kingdom. Lord, we realize that not each and every battle that we're going to go into is going to be one that looks easy to win. There are going to be some of those times when we're going to be facing insurmountable odds. But Father, if you have called us to the mission, you will bring us through the mission, just like these three gallant, valiant men of David. Lord, as we come together, we pray that you will help us as your church, as Christians, to grow in our faith. Lord, to grow into spiritual warriors and to be strong in our fight against the enemy. Lord, we ask that you would give us courage because that's being challenged more and more day by day. Every day that we go forward, Christianity is being challenged over and over again. Help us to truly be a good Christian soldier for you, that when we have the opportunity to see you face to face, we might hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over few things. I'll make you ruler over many." And Lord, I pray that you will just help us to encourage one another as believers. Lord, we're not against each other. We're on the same team. Help us, Father, to be encouragers one to another, that you might win the battles that you send us into. That's what we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, thank you again for joining us for our Wednesday Bible study. We would love to have you stop by and visit with us at Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you happen to be in the Greensboro or surrounding areas, our address is 1715 Highway 68 North, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you know where the Oak Ridge Military Academy is, we're right across the street from that. We would love to have you visit with us at 10:45 on Sunday mornings and then explore other opportunities to draw closer to Him, opportunities that our church provides throughout Sunday as well as throughout the week. I look forward to seeing you 10:45 this Sunday. Come join us, would you? God bless you. Have a great week.